many of us really, really believe that song we just sang, that nothing is impossible with God. There's a big difference between singing it and believing it by faith. And we are, in our series in Hebrews 11, learning about how to walk and live by faith. And we're looking at these examples, these faith stories of people that God has chosen to record for us here in the Scripture so that we can be encouraged by their example. I am thankful for these stories. And I'm thankful for what we've learned about living by faith so far. This morning, we're going to be looking at verse 11 and 12 here in Hebrews 11 at the faith story of Sarah. This is Abraham's wife. And Sarah, her faith story teaches us this, that faith receives from God. Faith receives from God. And what's so amazing is we're going to see in this story is that God promised her something that was absolutely impossible, humanly speaking. I mean, there's no way, humanly speaking, that what God promised Abraham and Sarah could have come to pass without God's intervention. And that's what makes this story so special, because it shows what faith can do. That faith can receive from God the impossible. The theme of the message, you know, I mentioned that she teaches us that faith receives from God, but here's the theme that I'm going to focus on this morning is this: through faith, we receive all that God has promised us. Through faith, we receive all that God has promised us. That's what we're going to see in this faith story of Sarah. Through faith, she received from God all that He had promised her. What are some things that God has promised you today in His Word that you need to receive by faith? That's important that you think about that as we get started. I want to just kind of talk a little bit about where her faith story began before we look at our text, verse 11 and 12 in Hebrews 11. And if you want, you can turn with me in Genesis. This is where the story begins in chapter 12. And it begins, of course, when God spoke to Abraham. And we looked at this call that God gave Abraham last week. You remember that it was a call to follow Him, to leave his land, to leave his people, his kindred, and to go to a place that God was going to show him. So it was a call to follow the Lord. And Abraham, by faith, he obeyed. He followed the Lord. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he just trusted God. And what a tremendous example Abraham is. But going back to that story, and I want you to notice in chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, and then we're going to go to chapter 15 of Genesis. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, this is what God promised. This is a promise. I want you to see this. Remember the theme this morning. Remember the theme is that through faith we receive all that God has promised us. And Abraham and Sarah is an example of this. And this is a promise that He's given to them. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And notice this last phrase: and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, as we get further along in the story, when you get to Genesis chapter 15, this is some years later, and the Lord appears to Abraham, and it says in verse 1, I like this, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham, or Abram, in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. You know, God had promised Abraham he's going to multiply him as the sand on the seashore is innumerable, as the stars that are in the heavens. He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to, through your seed, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations. Of course, the seed, singular, would be referring to Christ, who would come through him, through his line. But I want you to think about this. Up to this point, when you get to Genesis 15, Sarah is still barren. They have no children. And so Abraham is making a suggestion to God. I have this servant in my house, Eliezer. Give him me as a son and let him be the one. That's what Abraham's doing. As I said last week, Abraham's faith was not perfect. He believed God, and as he walked with God, his faith grew. And that ought to encourage us, because our faith is not perfect either. But I'm thankful that God helps us along. But we come to verse 3, it says, and Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, meaning no son. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. I mean, this is amazing to think about. I mean, he's childless, and years have passed since the first initial promise, and God says, no, your servant's not going to be your heir, but from your own bowels, you're going to have a son, just as I've promised you. And I like the response of Abraham in verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know, this is an extraordinary promise because, number one, Abraham and Sarah had no children, as we've already noted. But also because at this time that this was spoken, Abraham is 75 years old and Sarah is just a few years behind him. Think about that. They're quite old already. Years passed. Even after this chapter, even after this encounter with God, even after God's voice spoke to him and promised him, years passed. Still no son. God had given a promise, but its fulfillment was nowhere in view. But 24 years later, yes, 24 years later, Abraham was 99 years old. In chapter 18 now, the Lord appears to him again in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there are three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, I'm going to just kind of summarize the next part. Back in that day, hospitality is a big thing, and so these three guests appear at his tent door, and he Abraham, being a godly man, he told him to sit there, and he was going to go fetch him some food. And that was just pretty common in that world in that day. And so he did. He went, told his wife to make some cakes, some bread, and he went out and took a calf tender, and he began to dress it and prepare it for them. Now, as we come to verse 9, and they said unto him, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, now notice it said they said, now it says and he said. Now I want you to understand, when you read this story, there are three men. As you read this story, you're going to find out one of those men was the Lord. Now you say, how can that be? I thought God was a spirit. He is. But he appeared to Abraham and Sarah in the form of a man. Angels are ministering spirits. But yet they appear in the form of a man. Many times in the Bible they do that. And I'm going to explain why in just a minute. So just hang on here. And so here the Lord said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." And basically what this translates in Hebrew is that next year at this time. And it says, "And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now I want you to think about this first before you process this. Abraham's 99. Sarah's just a few years behind. And we're going to see, we read it in our text, and we're going to see it in other places in the Scripture, like in Romans 4, that Sarah's womb, the Scripture says in Romans 4 that her womb was dead. What that means is that there is no more chance of having babies. I mean, she's old. She's waxing old. She's way beyond the physical ability to have children. And so put yourself in that, or put that thought in mind as you read what the Lord tells Abraham outside the tent door. Says, "Listen, next year at this time, your wife is going to have a son." By that time, Abraham's going to be 100 years old. And it says here, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Her womb was dead. It ceased to be. She couldn't have children. And it says in verse 12, "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also." Now I want you to understand, Sarah is in the tent by herself, and she says this within herself. The Scripture says that, and this is important that you get this. She didn't laugh out loud whenever the Lord gave that promise. She didn't just, "Ha ha ha ha!" I mean, no, that wasn't it. I mean, in herself she was laughing, and she was asking herself this question. No one heard with their ears what she said or laughed, but I want you to, let's pick up the story. "And the Lord said unto Abraham." Now you see, the Lord, it was the Lord that was speaking. One of those men were the Lord. "And said to Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" Now notice verse 14. "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" We just sang a song, "Nothing is impossible with the Lord," right? Is anything too hard for the Lord? This is the Lord speaking to Abraham. He said, "At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Then Sarah denied, saying, "I laugh not," for she was afraid. And he said, "Nay, but thou didst laugh." We're going to come back to that thought in a little bit later in the message. So don't forget that part of the story. But I just want to say this. 1 year later, Sarah was laughing again. Only this time, it was joy. Tears of joy streaming down her face when her son Isaac was born. Just as God promised. Now, that's the story that Hebrews gives us, the God-inspired version of it, or commentary on it. In verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful story. What a challenging story it is to our faith. So many times our faith is weak. So many times, God, we don't take your promises as they are. We don't actually believe you can do the impossible. God, help our faith today. Increase our faith as the apostles prayed. And I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you three things this morning from these two verses, Hebrews 11 and 12. And the first one is this: through faith, we receive the impossible. Through faith, we receive the impossible. Now, remember, the overall theme is through faith, we receive what God promises us. But you know, a lot of times, a lot of things that God promises, they're impossible things. They're impossible. Just like his story. But through faith, we receive the impossible. We see through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Meaning her womb was dead, meaning that it was humanly not possible. God gave Sarah strength. It said through faith, Sarah herself received strength. Received something from God. She received a promise God had given her. Now, this word strength is the Greek word dunamis. And it's a word that, there are several words for power or strength in the Bible, but I particularly like this one because it means miraculous power. Miraculous strength, ability. It speaks of a miracle. Let me give you another example of a dunamis in the Bible. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. The gospel of Christ is the power, the dunamis of God unto salvation. That's why I love this word. And that's the word that's used here. What did Sarah receive? She received miraculous strength, miraculous power from God. It was a miracle. It was supernatural for her to conceive seed and to deliver a child when she's past age. This is a miracle. This is something that God did. Through faith, we receive the impossible, the things that only God can do. That's what she received. You know, later in Genesis, if you read in Genesis, after Sarah had died, Abraham married again. And he had six other children with his wife, Keturah. So Abraham, though he was old, he was not beyond becoming a father. But these verses focus on Sarah's faith. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength. The Bible places emphasis on the fact that this miracle took place in Sarah. It was in Sarah that the miracle took place. It was Sarah herself who received this power. And it came about because of this dunamis of God, this power, this miraculous strength and ability that God gave her to bear a child when her womb was already dead. But it says here in the scripture that she herself believed. She had faith. She believed. And that's how she was able to do the humanly impossible. I want you to just take a minute and look at the verse in Romans 4 that I mentioned earlier. In Romans chapter 4, let's see. Verse 17 is where the story starts. Romans 4, verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations." This was recorded in the Old Testament. "Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be as though, or be not as though they were." And so this is referring to Abraham and Sarah here. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. It says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." You see that? The deadness of Sarah's womb. "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Think about that. He was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. So there in Romans 4, the focus is on Abraham's faith, but our text, the focus is on Sarah's faith. But I just want you to see where Paul talked about the deadness of Sarah's womb. And so God did something miraculous and amazing according to Hebrews 11:11 in response to her faith. Through faith, we receive the impossible. That's what happened to Sarah. Through faith, she received strength. The impossible, divine strength, divine ability to conceive seed and have a child. Now, I want to just, before I move to the next point, I want to make a couple of applications, because this is not here just for Sarah, for us to know about Sarah's faith story, but this is here so that we can apply it to our lives. So that we can receive from God promises that He's given us. I want to just say that you may be here and you have never been born again. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you don't even realize that something's wrong yet, but I want you to know, without Christ, everybody, according to the Bible, is dead in sin. Spiritually dead. Unless you've been born again, you're spiritually dead. What does that mean? Well, that means that you have no capability of pleasing God. You can come to church, you can tithe, you can read your Bible, you can pray, you can do religious works, you can do charity, you can do whatever. You can even preach the gospel. But if you are not born again, you're dead. That means you're separated from God. That means that because of your sin and God's holy, you have no fellowship. You have no relationship with Him. You're in your sins. And if you die in that state, you're going to be separated from God forever. But I want you to think about death means death. It's a pretty bad condition. How many people do you know that have died physically have raised themselves up and resurrected themselves? How many do you know? I only know one. Jesus Christ. But I've never seen it in a funeral. I've never preached a funeral where somebody opened up that casket and walked out. Now, I want you to think about this. A person spiritually dead, it's a hopeless condition. Humanly, it's impossible for you to please God. Humanly, it's impossible for you to save yourselves. Humanly, it's impossible to do enough works because you're dead. But you know what God promises through His Son, Jesus Christ? John 3, most of you know the story of Nicodemus, where Jesus told him, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader of the Pharisees. But he was lost. He was dead spiritually. And Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this teacher of the Jews, this ruler of the Jews, like, how can this be? And Jesus is like, you're a master of Israel. You're a teacher and you don't know these things? But Jesus went on and say, for even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life and not perish. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I mean, the people dying in Moses' day, those serpents that bit them in the wilderness, they were dying. Moses holds up this brazen serpent and he says, hey, look in Nib. What? Shouldn't we go to the doctor? Shouldn't we get some anti-venom? Moses said, look and live. By faith, those that looked, they lived. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up that brazen serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was lifted up on a cross to die for our sins. And if we by faith, through faith, we believe and trust Christ as our Savior, the Scripture says we shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:15. That's the dunamis of God. That's the power of God. That's the gospel. When we believe the gospel, it's the power of God, the dunamis of God unto salvation. So, have you applied that promise, John 3:15, to your life? Have you, through faith, have you received Christ? Have you received eternal life through faith in Christ? Through that promise of God, are you fully persuaded that what He promised He's able to do? See, a lot of people are not persuaded. Well, I don't think God could save me because of my past. Well, look at what He did for Sarah. She was dead. There was no hope for her having a baby. But God said, I promised this. She believed God. She had a baby. You're dead. Just everybody's equally dead without Christ spiritually. Equally lost. Equally hopeless. But Christ died for sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. He came in the world to die for sinners. He came in the world to save sinners. And He's calling people today to come. Have you heard that voice? Have you obeyed that voice? Have you come to Jesus today through faith, receive this promise of salvation? Well, there's another application I can think of, and that is that there's a lot of us here that have received Jesus as our Savior. God has a will and a plan for our lives as believers. God's plan for my life may not look like the same as God's plan for your life. But God has a plan for each and every believer's life. I remember when God called me to preach. I talked a little bit about it last week, but I grew up an introvert, hearing impaired, hated speaking in front of people. I mean, if someone was to take and look at my qualifications back then, they certainly wouldn't have chose me to be a preacher. I can guarantee you. There's no way. Talk to some of my high school classmates. There's no way they say, oh, he's going to be a preacher. We can just see it. Mm-mm. Well, God, when he issued that call, it was something impossible. I had to believe. I had to have faith. God, you're going to have to do something. I can't preach. You're going to have to empower me. I can't. Yeah, I could give you many stories as through my life in ministry where God has led me places and to do things that I was like, God, I can't. How? Through faith we receive the impossible. Through faith we receive power, strength, ability, dunamis of God to do God's will and plan. This is more than about Abraham and Sarah having a baby. There's a big plan here. There's a big picture here. God had the gospel in mind. He had Christ coming into the world to die for sinners. It was bigger than Abraham and Sarah, but she was a piece of the puzzle. She, through faith, received strength. What if she did not believe? I'm sure God would have found another way, but still, it's worth thinking about. God has a plan to use us in this big picture. We have this big plan of God, the redemption of the world. And God has us as a puzzle piece in this picture. Are we going to believe God and receive power from Him and ability from Him to do what He's called us to do? There are times that we may wonder, how, God, can I keep on going? How can I do this, what you called me to do? The answer is through faith. Through faith. It's pretty simple. I want you to look in Colossians 1 real quick. You know, we think of people like the Apostle Paul. You know, he had all this ability and, man, he was perfectly fit for this. But you know, when you read about Paul's testimony, even if you'll go in like 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, you'll find that Paul was weak in so many areas in his life. He confessed that weakness. But here in Colossians 1, he says in verse 28, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Now notice verse 29, "Whereunto I also labor, striving," notice this, "according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." How did Paul do it? With dunamis power. Paul didn't do it with Paul power. Paul didn't do it with just grit. Paul didn't do it because he was smart. Paul didn't do it because he knew his Bible. Paul didn't know it because he could debate with people. Paul did it right here. He says, "According to His working, which worketh in me mightily." If you look in 2 Corinthians 12, I love this passage, and I know Brother Tim's going to amen it. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul was praying about this thorn in the flesh 3 times, and the Lord told him, well, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, Christ told Paul, "My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness." When you face a trial in your life, pain in your life that just sucks the life out of you, you may wonder, how can Christ possibly use me with the weight of this burden? It is through faith. Just like Paul just testified, Christ said, "My grace is sufficient." That's how. By depending on Him, by faith, receiving grace sufficient, dunamis power to do the impossible. But we're going to move on to point two because I'll keep preaching. Through faith we receive the impossible. But now number two, through faith we rest upon the promise of God. Through faith we rest upon the promise of God. In the latter part of verse 11 it says, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I want to explain what I mean by this point, that a lot of people would tell you something like this: all things are possible with God. In a sense, yes, that is true, but in another sense, it's not true. Let me give you an example. You know, people say, well, if you ask Jesus in any, if you ask in His name, He will do it. Isn't that what He promised? Name it and claim it. Nothing is impossible with God. Just your only limitation is faith. That's what you're going to hear from a lot of people, especially charismatic prosperity gospel preachers. But I want you to notice something here in this verse 11, that Sarah's faith rested upon God's promise to her. Through faith, Sarah also received strength. And it goes on, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And we looked in Genesis 12, we looked in Genesis 15, we looked in Genesis 18, where God over and over, He promised. I'm going to give you a son. But I want you to notice that promise is not given to every person. God didn't promise every woman on this earth that she's going to have a child. There are some women that are trying to have children. And it'd be cruel for you to go to them and say, listen, Sarah, she believed God and she had it. If you just had enough faith, God would give you a child. That's cruel because it may not be God's will for her to have a child. I want you to note this. Faith is not wish fulfillment. Faith is not a creative act by which we bring what we want into being. That's what the charismatics are saying. Faith is a creative act that we bring what we want into being. I want you to tell you what faith is. Faith is the means by which we receive what God promised to give us. You know, not every promise in the Bible is ours in particular. Specifically. There are some promises God gave to Israel that don't pertain to the church. So be careful when you start applying promises. But I want you to know that faith is how we receive from God what He has promised us. That's the thesis of this whole message. Through faith we receive the impossible. Through faith we rest upon God's promise. Thomas Manton, he wrote this: wherever we put forth faith, we must have a promise. Otherwise, it is but fancy, not faith. I'll repeat it. Wherever we put forth faith, we must have a promise. Otherwise, it is but fancy, not faith. Remember in a message when we started this series in Hebrews 11, we talked about Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The faith that we exercise must be based on the Word of God, based on what God has promised to us. When I say John 3:15, or John 3:16, or Romans 10:9, 10:13, whosoever will, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You know what? When you come across verses like that, promises like that, when it says whosoever, that means anyone. It's not just a certain select few. No, He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. By faith, you can receive that promise. Faith is not trusting God to fulfill your dreams. Faith is trusting God to fulfill His promises. Faith is tied to the promise. Now, going back to Sarah, remember when Sarah laughed? How did Sarah come to believe this promise? Because the Bible says here, through faith, Sarah herself also believed. How did she come to believe it? Because she had not always believed it. First time she heard it, she laughed. I mean, let's give her some credit. She's 90-something years old. She knows that her womb is dead. I mean, let's not be too hard on Sarah. We do it all the time in easier things. We say, oh, that's not possible. God, there's no way. Well, I want to say this. The strength of any promise depends on the person who gives it. Have you ever had someone tell you, I give you my word? Whether you believe that or not, it's going to depend on the person that gave it. If the person that gave it is a liar, that always fails to keep their promise, are you going to have faith in their word when they say, I give you my word, I'll pay you back? You're not going to believe it. But if that person is a faithful person, always keeps their word, they have good character, you will believe them. God is always true to His Word. And Sarah believed God's promise because she came to know God. She came to understand that God was a faithful God. When God appeared to Abraham and gave him the promise that she would bear a son, she was inside the tent and she was hidden from view. And it says that she laughed within herself. And I emphasize again, no sound was heard. There was no smirk on her face that was seen. She was inside the tent. Those men said, where is your wife, Sarah? She was out of view. But then the Lord said in verse 13, why did Sarah laugh? Now Sarah heard that. Because later she said, oh, I didn't laugh. You know what Sarah realized after that? The person who made this promise knows everything about me. Even my private, unbelieving thoughts. That's why God did that. There's something beautiful in that story. God knew that Sarah would have a hard time believing this promise. He knew that all those years of disappointment would have made her afraid of being disappointed again and again and again. So I want you to know what God did. He showed up in person, in visible form, to help bring Sarah to faith. Isn't that amazing? Why would God do that? Because He loves Sarah. And He's all about this big picture of redemption. And that's a perfect picture of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. The God who appeared to Sarah in the form of a man actually became a man, Jesus Christ. Came into this world so that we might know the Father. Jesus came so that He might lead us to faith. He came so that by faith we might receive all that God promised. Through faith we receive, or it rests upon the promise of God. But I thought that was cool to think about how that God was helping Sarah along in her faith. And that's why the Scripture is able to record through faith. Also, Sarah received strength. At first, no, but after she came to know who it was that was given that promise, it says she judged him faithful who had promised. You can't judge someone faithful unless you know him. So she came to know God. She came to know Him personally. She came to know some things about Him. And when she came to know some things, she believed. Let's go to the third and last point. Through faith, we fulfill the purpose of God. Through faith, we fulfill the purpose of God. In verse 12, it says, "Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead." That's speaking of Abraham. "So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable." A spring of one. Pretty amazing story. 100-year-old man. 90-something-year-old wife. Good as dead, had a son. I want you to think about what came from Sarah's faith, and that's what this verse and the following verses tell us, that what came from Sarah's faith was God's purpose was advanced. Through faith, God's purpose was advanced. God's purpose was fulfilled. Because Sarah's faith, it led to the birth of Isaac. From Isaac came Jacob. From Jacob came Joseph. From Joseph came his brothers. And we can go down through the line and we see as we come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born. The seed that God, the seed of Abraham, that God used to bless all the nations of the world. It's through Abraham that Jesus came, and through Jesus all the nations of the world are blessed. Because Jesus came to bring salvation. He came to bring eternal life to all that would believe. And you know, Jesus, right now, He's gathering a great company of redeemed people from every tribe and nation. He's calling people. From every tribe and nation, He wants to use us in that purpose and plan. Through faith, we advance that plan. Through faith, when you believe God, when God says, "I want you to go talk to your neighbor about Jesus. I want you to increase your faith promise missions giving so we can support another missionary. I want you to pray for this person. I want you to go minister to this person." You know, when we by faith obey and act on that, we receive from God power to do it. Do you understand that? When God says, you know, I think the giving, I'm just throwing these out there as examples. Because that's one area that touches a lot of people. Like, well, I'm giving as much as I can. I don't have any more in my budget to get. But if God tells you, remember, through faith we see the impossible. Every time I've ever raised my faith promise mission because God wanted me to, I've never been to the place where I couldn't do it. By faith, He provided. And I remember Brother Darter taught me this principle. I never really thought about it, but he said, faith promises, like when you are promising God if you provide. So I promise this much, and let's say that God doesn't provide. Well, you're out of your promise, right? But do you really believe by faith God is able? You know, there's so many examples we could give. Faith advances the purpose of God. That's how God works. It's through faith. It's not through our determination. It's not through our great vision. It's not through our efforts. And though all those things may be involved, it's through our faith. It's when God calls us to do something, and we say, God, we believe, we trust, we're going to go forward, even though it don't make any sense, even though it seems like it's not even possible for us as a church, we're going to do it. I've seen God time and time again do that through churches. I've seen God put something impossible before a church. And I've seen God bless. I remember when we were in Dahart, we were in a little bitty building. It was 25 foot wide by 54 foot long. That was the entire building. You could fit it inside here, several of them. Inside this sanctuary. That's all we had. There was 30 of us, maybe. When we first went, less than that. But after about 5-year mark, I felt like God wanted us to move. Buy some property. Build another building. It was big. I mean, how are we going to do this? I had one of the trustees said, Pastor, I'm not in on this. There's no way we can do this. This is way too big for our church. We can't do this. I said, well, you're wrong, buddy. Because God wants us to go forward. And I'm convinced, and the church voted to go forward. And by faith, little by little, we bought land. Little by little, we built a building. Little by little, we dedicated a new church to the glory of God. And I'm telling you, it was all of God. I could tell you stories, even how this church had a part in that story. Years later, that same person came to me and said, Pastor, I'm sorry that I didn't have faith to believe. I'm sorry I didn't support you. But he missed the blessing. He missed out on the blessing. You know, I'm saying that God's going to ask us to do things if we are listening to His voice. He's going to ask us to do things that are not possible. I don't know what He's going to ask you to do. I don't know what He's going to ask me to do. There are some things that He's asked me to do that were impossible. Many things. I can give, that was one. We went to Ghana. It was impossible. I've told this story before. It's been a long, long time ago. Some of you may have never heard it. But you know, when we had our support raise, we were getting ready to leave. I went to get some new hearing aids and went and had a hearing test. And the audiologist said, listen, I told her about our plan. I told her what we were going to do. She said, I advise you not to go because you are severe hearing loss. Profound. You will not be able to hear those people and understand them because they're a different language. And my wife is my witness. I went home crying. I mean, how do you deal with that? God, did you make a mistake? Did we spend these last 2 years in vain? I mean, I can't. How am I going to function? How am I going to communicate if I can't hear? I was seriously thinking about it at that point, bowing out. But my wife, she reminded me, God called us. We have to go by faith. We don't know how it's going to happen, but we just have to go and trust Him. And most of you know the rest of the story. We get there and God opens up doors for deaf ministry and reaching people, hearing impaired. How would we have known that? How? I wouldn't have seen that. What if I said, no, God, I can't. I can point to deaf people today that know Christ. They're saved today. Some of their family members are saved. Hearing family members. And some of them are in the ministry right now. What if I said, no, God, this is impossible. I can't. I can't hear, I can't go. It wasn't about me. It was about the purpose of God. God has something so big. He said, listen, you're just a little piece of puzzle. I just want you to fit in right here. I had to just say, okay, God. It just don't make any sense at all, but I'll go. I want to ask you, what do you need to receive from the hand of God today to fulfill His purpose for your life? What do you need today? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need salvation? I know it may seem impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. We just sang about it. Nothing is impossible with God. You can come to Christ and it's possible because you have the promise. That's why. It's not because I'm just making this thing up. It's because God promises whosoever comes to Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Faith leaves the promise of God, what God has spoken, and trusts what God has promised. I've said that statement several times in this series. Faith believes what God has spoken and trusts what God has promised. Or you're facing an overwhelming challenge right now as you seek to do God's will for your life. I promise you they're going to come often. Often there's going to be an overwhelming challenge. God, how can we go on? I know some here in this congregation right now has got some overwhelming things weighing them down. I know, I understand. But God understands. Will you, by faith, go forward with God? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Can you take that promise and believe, God, I know You've called me to do this. This overwhelming burden I have to carry. I need Your grace. I need Your dunamis, Your power, Your ability, because I don't have it in me. Do you need material provision to do His will? Rest in His promise. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I don't think that's a blanket promise, but I think it's, you know, if you look in the context, it's the context of the gospel, the context of God's kingdom. As we seek to do His will, fulfill this greater purpose of God that God's called us to be a part of, He will supply all your need. He didn't say, I'm going to supply all your greed, all your need. Rest on God's promise this morning. Receive by faith what He promised you. I want you to stand with me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Faith receives from God what God has promised. There are many promises, and I don't know what promise God is speaking to your heart this morning. I don't know what part of the purpose of God that God wants you to step in and to fulfill. But I do know what your response should be. Your response should be, God, I will trust You. I will trust Your promise. Father, we thank You so much. Thank You so much for the faith story of Sarah. Wow. What an amazing story of faith. God, something that was so impossible. Humanly speaking, it was just not possible at all. But You promised. You promised. And Abraham and Sarah had faith and believed the promise. And You fulfilled that. You did the impossible. And You furthered the purpose of God in their lives and throughout the world. We're recipients of their faith today. We're recipients of what their faith brought. It brought Christ to us. And God, help us. There's so many people without Christ today. There are so many people that need Jesus now. Where's our faith? You know, Jesus asked the disciples many times, where's your faith? Oh, ye have little faith. Oh God, help us that we would have faith to believe your promises that you've given us. You promised us your presence and your power. You promised us as we go about furthering your kingdom, making disciples, maturing disciples, and mobilizing disciples for Jesus by your power throughout all the world. You promised your power. Oh, God, help us to act in faith, to obey, to watch you do some great big things in and through us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to open up.